Contrary to the belief of many new traders, markets move both up and down. Yes, it's true. Markets can go lower. So naturally, a question many traders ask is how long does it take to get back to even after seeing a large daily move lower? And does the magnitude of these moves help us understand how long it takes to recover on average from these losses? We'll help give you the answers to these questions with new research from 324 ticker symbols in today's show.
You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from OptionAlpha.com, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you consistently play smarter trades. So at the end, thank you so much for tuning in today, and welcome back to show number 228, where we are going to be looking at loss recovery analysis, super fun new research that we did that I think you guys will really enjoy, and really trying to answer the question, how long does it take to get back to even, to get back to square one, to get back to par, get back to zero, whatever you want to call it, but basically looking at different ticker symbols, both stocks and ETFs, and trying to figure out that if we have these large moves lower or any move lower in the price of those symbols, how long does it take to get back to where it started? And so that's what we're going to look at today. And I know you're going to get a lot of really, really good information that come out of this podcast. As always, we've got charts and tables and things that you'll want to see over on the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show228. Again, that's just the number 228. optionalpha.com/show228, but you can definitely 100% use today's research and today's analysis that we did to incorporate this into your bots, into your trading strategies to make you more mechanical, more systematic. I think improve your trading, make smarter trades as you start to move forward. So I think you guys will enjoy this moving forward. One quick thing before we jump into today's research, as a reminder, we talked about this on one of the previous podcasts, but a lot of people have had some questions about it, so we're reminding you again, we do have a special promotion going on with TradeAir, where if you connect a qualifying account to TradeAir, then you get a free Option Alpha Pro Plus membership. A lot of people ask questions like, is it really free? Yes, it's really free. You can really get a free Pro Plus membership. All you have to do is just go into Option Alpha, log in on a free trial, log in on your current account, connect your brokerage account at TradeAir. As long as you've got a qualifying account at TradeAir, you automatically get updated. We take care of everything for you. And that means that you can use Option Alpha completely free at our highest level, which is our Pro Plus level moving forward. And you also get the benefit of trading through Option Alpha, which means you qualify for commission-free trading at TradeAir. So you'll definitely want to take advantage of it, especially if you're a new trader. It's a lot of money that you could be saving. We fought hard for this. Team at TradeAir has been great partners with us trying to make this happen for you guys. So definitely take a look at that. You can find out more details on our pricing page or integration page over on Option Alpha. All right, so here's the deal on the research that we did. We basically went through 324 tickers. Why 324? Because 325 is weird. So we did, now I don't know, 324 tickers that were highly liquid, available for trading, wanted to make sure that they were ones that had lots and lots of movement. So we tried to expand out the universe to a lot of tickers, you know, some tickers that didn't do so well over the whole period, some tickers that fell and died, and some tickers that took off and went to the moon and whatever, right? Got bought out, whatever, IPOs, like our spinoffs, everything. So we wanted to get a wide, wide breadth of tickers that we could test this on. Then we ran analysis from basically March of 2002 until March of 2022, and we wanted to capture this time period because we wanted to see over a long stretch of market movement what happened to positions as they moved up and down. Now, our team had done this a while back, so we didn't do this for March of this year, though it probably wouldn't change the numbers dramatically because there's just hundreds of thousands, millions of different data tables in here and little metrics that we track. So I don't think it'll move the numbers moving in a year or even 2 years out. I think these numbers are going to stay pretty much the same as we go forward. Lots of environments, lots of markets, lots of sectors. It's not just testing the S&P. It's a lot. It's everything. And what we did over this 20-year period is we basically tracked prices and movements in dollars for every single ticker and every single daily loss that these tickers had. That's a lot. Like, I don't know if you really think about it, but it's millions of possible combinations that we put together over lots and lots of years. But we tracked the daily loss percentage of any ticker during that time period. And we did break it out between all tickers, ETFs, and then stocks only. So we'll go through that in the analysis too. And what we did is we said, okay, if a stock lost, let's say 1%, then how many days did it take for that stock to recover that 1% loss? So if you have a stock that's trading at $100 and it lost 1% today, that means it's trading down to $99, right? So if you have a stock that's at 100 and it lost 1%, then it's trading down to 99. Now, we did not track a 1% gain from there because a 1% gain from $99 doesn't get us back to even. So the key thing here that you guys have to understand is that what we were actually tracking is we were tracking the percentage loss, and then we were tracking how long it took to get back to dollar for dollar even. So if a stock was down, it was trading at $100 and dropped that day by 1%, which took it down to $99, we were not tracking a 1% gain the next day, because a 1% gain the next day does not count. A 1% gain the next day would take it up to $99.99, right? That's not going to do it. That's not going to get us back to $100. We want to track dollar for dollar, the recovered dollar loss. So whatever that meant. So it means if it dropped by 10%, it needs to recover 11.1% to get back to dollar for dollar loss. So we had to track to the point at which it came back all the way dollar for dollar. Basically, where does it get back to even? Where does it get back to square one, to $0, to par, no loss, no gain, whatever, however you want to call it. I think this is super fascinating. And the reason that we did this, just so you guys know, is because I wanted to know, and I think you guys want to know, everyone wants to know, like, what should we do if we go through big magnitude drawdowns or even slow ones? And what's the likelihood that we get back to, you know, par on these things, that we get back to even? What's the probability that we do? And so that's what you're tracking. Now, full disclosure, we tracked out 5 days. So we could have tracked 6 days, 7 days, 10 days. It would have exponentially made the data and the research harder for us to do even longer periods. But what we also saw is that after 5 days, statistically, it started to like tail off where the gains and recovery didn't make a big difference. Like, most of the recovery that happened in many of these securities happened within the first 5 trading days. So we think that there's a lot of value in just even tracking those first 5 days, which is what we did the research on, is up to those first 5 days. Okay, so what you'll see when you go over to the show notes page, and I'll describe it here as we go, is you will see a couple different tables that show the recovery of different tickers, whether it's all tickers, ETFs, or stocks. I'll go through them together here on the podcast. And then what you'll see is on the left-hand side of these tables on the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show228, you will see the percentage drawdown. That's the one-day drawdown, not multi-day, just one-day drawdown. If the stock dropped that percentage in a day, then how long or what percentage of the recovery was recovered in the first 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, etc. So for example, if a stock dropped, and I'll just, this is the top one on all tickers, so this is looking at all combined ETFs and stocks all mushed together. If any ticker dropped 0 to 0.5%, so basically up to a 0.5% drop in 1 day, which is just a small down day, 92% of the loss was recovered in day one, so 1 day afterwards. So if today is Wednesday and a stock or symbol drops 0.5%, 92% of that drop would be recovered the next day, Thursday. So hopefully that makes sense. So all these tables here, these percentages, they're not showing the percentage gain. They're showing the percentage of the loss that was recovered. like the dollar percentage of the loss that was recovered. So in the case of all tickers with a one-day drop of 90.5%, you recovered on average over 20 years and 324 different ticker symbols. On average, 92% of your loss is recovered the next day. That in and of itself, if you just take one thing away and just walk away from this podcast, I hope you don't, but if you did, that right there is really powerful information. That shows you that most of the time you have these little drops and you get a little recovery, and a little drop and a little recovery, a little drop and a little recovery. Okay. So now all we did on the rest of the tables is we broke out the different daily intraday loss drops by half a percent increments. So we went 0 to 0.5% drop, 0.5 to 1, 1 to 1.5, 1.5 to 2, and so on and so on and so on until we got to 4.5 to 5%. And basically, that's where we stopped on that big intraday. After that, the intraday drawdown numbers are not a lot of numbers after 5% for a one-day drop. So we didn't think it was statistically significant to keep going through those. There was definitely stocks that dropped more than 5%, but we kind of stopped it at that so that we had enough data to make some good analysis here. Now, what we'll see is for all tickers, and again, I'll just focus on all tickers now, and we'll kind of break out ETFs and stuff like that. What we see on these charts is we see a couple things. The first thing that we see is that as you go further and further down on a one-day drop, the percentage that you are going to recover goes down as well. I mean, that it kind of almost sounds like so intuitively stupid and simple, but the bigger the drop that you have, the lower the percentage you're going to be able to recover, period. Like, period, end of story. The bigger the drop you have, the lower the percentage you're going to be able to recover, period. The bigger the drop that you have, the smaller the percentage that you're going to be able to recover the next day. And this is where I think it starts to get really interesting. So I'm going to try to describe as best I can, but pay attention, hopefully listen through this, because I think listening to this and just trying to understand this is really, really powerful, okay? If you have, for example, you have a drop of 0 to 0.5, like we talked about earlier, on the next day, you're going to recover on average 92% of that loss. That's pretty significant. Now, you didn't recover 100% of a loss, and actually nothing in 5 days recovered 100% of a loss. Nothing, zero. The highest you got was 97% recovery. But 92% on the first day, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That means if you are on the edge, and here's how I would take this. If I have a trade that is on the edge, like right on the edge, and maybe expiration is the next day, right? And the market's down 0.5%, and that's barely challenging my position, I'm more likely to hold now. I'm more likely to hold now because I know, on average, across all tickers, 92% of the loss will be recovered the next day. So does that mean that you always buy on a down day? No, because it could go, it doesn't mean that it always flip-flops like a coin flip. It's not that. It's on long-term averages that statistically you probably have a pretty good chance that it has some sort of recovery the next day. So that's what we were looking for. Now, when you start going further down in loss, the one-day recovery goes down as well. So if you have a 4.5 to 5% loss one day, so huge daily move down, the next day's recovery is only going to recover 22% of the loss on average. Now, I still think that this is pretty cool, that in most cases is going to recover some of the loss the next day. But the vast majority of time, you still are not going to recover anywhere near the loss that you experienced on that big down day. So what does this mean? This means that on really big down days, the likelihood that you get back all of what you lost the next day is probably really low. Actually, we know it's really low. It's not probably, it is. 22% of the time you recover the loss day one. That's super, super low. And so what that means is between 92% on a small down day and 22% on a big down day, that's a big disparity, and lots everything else in between there, you know, you can kind of see on the tables on the show notes page. But that basically means that the bigger the loss intraday, or the bigger the loss on that day, the less likely you are to recover the loss the next day. Now, here's where I think it does get interesting. If you now start looking day two, day three, day four, day five, the numbers change quite dramatically for the amount that you recover of that loss. So let's go back up to the top of our table and we'll look at, again, a drop of 0 to 0.5. So very small intraday drop or very small daily drop. Day one, like we said, was 92% recovery. By day two, you had 94% recovery. Okay, that's good. That's starting to, like, just waiting an extra day, we were 92% more likely to recover the loss. Waiting by 3 days, you were 96% likely to recover the loss. Day four, still 96%, and by day five, you were 97% likely to recover the loss. Now, you're not 100% likely to recover the loss, because we don't know. We don't know exactly where markets are going to go, right? There's no 100% probability on anything. But on a very small down day, you had a 97% chance that you recovered all of that dollar for dollar by day five. That's pretty good. And we would expect that. Small down day, small up day, we recover the loss, and you're done. Okay? When you look at the lowest, the biggest drawdown, daily drawdown, the 4.5 to 5% category, which was basically like the bottom of the chart. Remember we said that by day one, your recovery was 22%. So it's not a lot. Like, you should not bet the farm on recovering a loss after a 4.5 to 5% down day the next day. Like, it's just not going to happen. And you know what? So what's funny is I do see people trading like this. I've even had thoughts of, you know, doing this, and I'm sure I've placed trades that have been like this too, where it's like, oh, big down day, big rip tomorrow, like big dip today, dead cat bounce tomorrow, right? And maybe, but it's not going to go all the way back up. You're probably not going to recover that, right? And certainly not going to recover that in the first day. But watch how dramatically, or listen, or see how dramatically that changes as you start to move days. So by day one, we were at 22% recovery. Day two, it goes to 33% recovery. Now remember, the first one up at the top went from 92 to 94. I mean, you're talking 2% change in the probability of recovery. Now you were already high to begin with, but you're talking small differences. On a big down day, you go from 33% day two to 42% day three, 49% day four, and by day five, you're at 54% recovery. Now, I don't know about you, but that difference is very, very significant. If you actually track the differences percentage-wise, you track the differences percentage-wise between day five and day one, between these two, in the very small magnitude drawdowns, the 0 to 0.5, the difference was an improvement of 5% in holding 1 day versus 5 days, or 5 days versus 1 day. You got a 5% improvement in your probability of recovery by holding out to 5 days, which means really that you get an improvement for holding longer, but it didn't really matter that much, right? Now, you know that instinctively because 92% recovery day one versus 97% recovery day five is not a huge difference. Yes, it's 5% improvement, right? But you really, and this is, it's a 5% improvement in the actual number. It also happens to be 5% actual percentage points, but it's a 5% improvement in holding the 5 days. But think about this. When you have large magnitude drawdowns, like large daily losses, 4.5 to 5% on these securities that move down, the larger the daily loss, the more you were compensated or the better improvement you had, the higher likely percentage you were to recover that loss by holding longer. So if you think about the difference between the recovery percentage at 22% day one on a big drawdown loss versus 54% on day five, that's 145% improvement in your ability to recover any part of that loss just holding 5 days. So what does this mean for a trader? Like, these creators are like, Kirk, these, all these numbers, you're throwing a bunch of numbers at me again. I know, I can feel your energy. I can feel it right now. If you're walking or listening at the gym or on a car ride or whatever, I know you're probably like, what does it even matter? Here's where it matters. Magnitude of the drawdown matters. If nothing else, that you should now start to believe that you can't recover the position day one, or the chance of recovering the position day one is super low. And holding longer on that position when it's a loss or when it's challenging your positions has, in this case, 154% improvement on recovery back to where you need it to be over 5 days. I don't know about you, but as a trader, this changes how you could potentially trade. This means that if you have a position that goes against you and you're 10 days from expiration, then holding another 5 days is a no-brainer almost. Because the likelihood that you recover the position day one is not anything. Certainly if you close the position now, you close with the loss, right? So let's say you're trading a put spread and the market goes down against your position, right? And if you have 10 days to expiration, and we know right now from these stats that the worst thing you could do is take the loss at this moment, like long-term, lots of trades, right? Not one specific trade. Please don't email in, because somebody will, always does. Somebody emails in and goes, Kirk, but this one trade and this one symbol and this one time period didn't work. I'm saying long-term numbers and stats here, right? The worst thing you could do, 10 days from expiration, stock goes down 4.5%, 5%, challenges your position, takes it from a small gain to a small, to a loser, whatever. Worst thing you could do is take that loss right there. Probably why we don't like stop losses, why a lot of our research suggests stop losses don't help that much. Now, if you hold that position, for 5 days, you have a 54% chance of recovering that loss versus a 22% chance of recovery, right? That is a significant difference. It's 145% improvement, which means hold it for 5 more days and you'll be better off statistically than if you did nothing and kept, like, just cut the position out immediately or even cut it out after day one. So that's the difference. Hopefully that makes sense. Like, I hope that's like sometimes like earth-shattering information that like confirms some of these ideas that I think a lot of traders have. Is like, I know it's kind of sometimes counterintuitive. You're like, man, a huge move down. And you're like, so you're telling me I got to hold this thing? And you might go through some extra pain in the process because it might keep going down the next day. Could keep going down even further. Could do another 4% down day before it recovers maybe all of that. So the bigger the magnitude is, the more value there is in holding through that position. This also gets to a point of rolling trades and extending duration, something that we talk about a lot. But if you can get to a point where you can roll or extend duration of a trade, this is why it pays off. It pays off because your recovery is going to get, there's a higher probability of recovering from these the longer you hold it, naturally. If you just survive, the higher likelihood that you survive means there's a higher likelihood you survive and thrive. Like, it's just staying alive in this business is everything. If you can stay alive, that means you have a higher chance of staying alive, right? So that was what was really powerful, I think, in showing some of these charts. Now, one thing that I wanted to look at here too, and you can see all these on the, again, all of this is on the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show228. You can get all these charts and all these tables, so you can see these. The other thing that I wanted to look at was I wanted to look at the difference between ETFs and stocks. And I think this was pretty powerful. So we broke out all of these also by ETFs and stocks. And so here's what I noticed about ETFs and stocks. And I think that it can help you again, and whether you're crafting bots that are more stock or ETF focused, this can maybe help you sway you in how you make some of your decisions. But here's one thing I noticed, or a couple of things I noticed. One, stocks more easily recovered losses than ETFs during the 5 day period. This was pretty much across the board. If you actually look at these two tables back to back, and you look at just the 5 day column for stocks and ETFs, what you see is that stocks across the board for pretty much every daily breakdown of daily loss, you know, that we tracked, had a better recovery over 5 days than ETFs. Now, I'm not sure if this is because there's a lot more volatility in those stocks, so there's a lot bigger chance that you know, compared to an ETF, which is a basket of securities or tracking something, right, that you get a lot more fluctuation. And so there's a higher chance that you get there. That could be it for sure. Probably mostly it. But I think it is important to note that some of these were pretty different. For example, a 1 to 1.5% drawdown on a stock, you were 84% likely to recover that drawdown after 5 days. Whereas on an ETF, you were only 75% likely to recover that drawdown. Now, that's pretty significant. A 1 to 1.5% drawdown is not much, right? That's not a big, that's a decent down day in the market, but it's not headline on every front page and you're getting calls and texts from your brother and sister-in-laws about the markets crashing. That's not that. That's a normal-ish down day in the market. And stocks recovered, individual securities were able to recover 84% after 5 days versus ETFs recovered 75%. So that was really, really fascinating that we saw that. I think that seeing that stocks more easily recovered losses than ETFs was definitely a big takeaway for us. Now, the other thing that we saw is particularly with ETFs was that when you looked at the table and looking at the 1 day, 2 day, even 3 day recovery of ETFs versus stocks, when you started to get those bigger drawdowns, the, you know, drawdowns that are 2.5 to 5%, right? The really big moves is that ETFs just absolutely struggled to recover. And there wasn't like one particular data point necessarily that just showed that they struggled, but you can just see with the numbers that ETF recovery is a much bigger hurdle, a bigger mountain to climb when you have bigger moves in these ETFs. So for example, if an ETF dropped 2.5% to 3%, it was 23% likely to recover the loss the first day. Now, when you look at the stock table, it was 23% likely to recover a 4.5 to 5% loss. That was the lowest percentage recovery probability. So when you compare that to the ETF, which a 2.5% move is 23% likely to recover the first day, and the ETF's lowest percentage was 14%, which was a 4.5 to 5% move, you can tell right now that when ETFs have bigger moves, they are less likely to recover, right? Not that they won't, they're just less likely to recover. When you look at the ETF chart or the ETF table, you see a lot of numbers under 40, under 30, in the 20s. It's the only one with a number in the teens, right? 14%. Versus what you see with stocks is you see a lot of numbers that are above not only 40, but are above 50, which means they're more likely, like there's a 51% chance or 52% chance you recover, right? You get a lot more volatility in those stocks. And therefore, when stocks have big moves, they're more likely to recover. So I think this really gets to the whole concept what we talked about in the show with Richard Hudson and the misbehaviors of markets. Just this idea that like volatility sometimes begets more volatility and calm begets more calm. And so when you have volatility, you get even more volatility. Like it clusters around other volatility zones and you get more movement in the markets generally. If you see this with stocks, you know that when you get challenged on positions or you go through a loss, the recovery is easier for a stock because of its own volatility than it is for ETFs. Now, this is how I would use this trading if I were you, because you can set up your bots and your automations to trade different symbols. As I've always said, I think that you should split and divide ETFs and stocks and even individual tickers, if you want to, into their own bots so that you can start to make these little tiny controls and adjustments to those. If you're trading a bot that is trading ETFs, then that means that you might be more willing to adjust, hedge, do something to that position on a big down move. So if I'm trading an ETF, let's say that, or trading a bot that's trading short put spreads, and I have my short put spread bot trading ETFs like SPY and TLT and GLD, and if one of those goes through a drawdown of, let's say, 2% in 1 day, guess what I might be willing to do? I might be willing to start hedging that position. Because if I can start hedging that position, I know it's because the ETF is going to have a much harder time trying to recover that type of drawdown, right? So in the case of an ETF, just to even put more context on this, if you have an ETF that goes through a 2 to 2.5% move down in the day, even by day 5, there's a 61% chance that you recover. So not great. Good, but not great. You got to wait 5 days to get a 61% chance of recovery. So that means that on the first day when that thing drops, maybe you start hedging that position pretty quickly. You don't have to go really aggressive with your hedge, but maybe you start hedging it pretty quickly because you know the ETF is going to be a bigger haul to get back to square one. Whereas a stock that goes through a 2 to 2.5% drawdown, by day 5, you have a 70% chance of recovering the loss. So at that point, now it's like, well, I mean, yeah, you can definitely, maybe you hedge too, right? But you've got a 70% chance that it gets all the way back up to square one, to zero, back to exactly where you need to. So maybe you do nothing. Maybe you just sit on your hands and wait and play the numbers and probabilities. Or maybe you implement the slightest, tiniest hedge to that position, right? Maybe you sell a call spread, but it's really, really far out, just to kind of, you know, start to slowly hedge your bets there. But that's how I would use this. I would start to use this to kind of understand how can I, you know, not only just understand the recovery process that things go through, but also the fact that ETFs and stocks might behave a little bit different during their process of recovery. Okay, so we went through a lot of stuff. I really hope you guys enjoyed today's show and the analysis that we did on price recovery. I know this was a lot. This has not been easy stuff that we've been going through, but I'm trying to really push you to take some of this stuff and start to implement it and start to improve the way that you trade. Stop guessing and hunching and, you know, throwing stuff against the wall. Like, this is not how you should do this. You know this, I know this, but not enough people know this, or you don't start to actually do it. So please take some action on this today. Start to incorporate some of these things into your trading plan. And your trading plan could be written out trading plan. It could be a plan that you create into a bot. That's what we hope. We hope you use Option Alpha and automations and decisions and recipes to create a digital trading plan with a bot and start to incorporate some of these decisions. Did the market drop by 2% yesterday? If it did, yes, then do something else, right? That's how you can start to incorporate this right now. So as always, all of this will be available for you on the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show228. Again, that's just the number 228, optionalpha.com/show228.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything, free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, that's a wrap for this week's podcast episode here at Option Alpha. But of course, before we go, I just want to let you guys know what we've been working on. We've got some really cool new updates coming to the platform. We've been pushing lots of little tweaks and updates to the platform based on your guys' feedback. So we'd love to get you in there. Take a look at it. See all the new things that we have available for you. You can start your free trial right over at optionalpha.com/start. That gets you in on a 30-day free trial. As a reminder, we're also doing lots of workshops. These are live workshops with me and the team. We kind of split these out and I do some, Steve does some. They're really fun because we deep dive on some different topics. So please, if you haven't already, register for one of our live workshops that go through either a bot building process, an automation building process, a quick start guide, any of these things that can get you moving and start to build some momentum into auto trading. You can check those out at optionalpha.com/workshops. You can also watch recordings of every workshop we've done. We record all of those, post them to the website, so you can always get a copy of those anytime you want and watch those on demand. As always, I truly hope you guys enjoy today's show and got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to help you consistently place smarter trades. And until next time, happy trading.